This is Epic Radio. Eastern Panhandle Independent Community Radio, broadcasting from Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Today is November 7th, 2016. It is Monday at 12 noon, so you must be listening to the Epic Story Hour. This is your host, Fanny Crawford. We're a web-based station. You can find us at www.nlighten. There is no ED on that word. Enlightenradio.org. So fire us up. You're going to want to stick around for today's program. I've been at the National Association for Black Storytelling this weekend. I spent all day Saturday at the National Association for Black Storytellers in Philadelphia. Last year, the conference was in D.C. That was my first time. This time, it was in Philadelphia, which, of course, is my original hometown, so I could not miss this year. And later in the program, we're going to have two storytellers who are longtime members, supporters, and participants in the National Association of Black Storytellers, Arthuretta Martin from Washington, D.C., and Diane Macklin from Baltimore will be with us in just a bit. So stay tuned to hear more from them. They were there for most of the five-day conference in Philly, and so they have lots more to share with you than I do. I'll be telling you a bit about my experiences there as we get into the program. I do want to make sure everybody knows that Adams Booth's Speak Story series that meets usually the second Tuesday of the month has been changed for this month because, of course, the second Tuesday of the month is Election Day! And if you didn't know that from being a human being out in the world, you would know that from listening to Epic Radio, because there's a special full-day coverage tomorrow on air, so you can tune into that. But today, and this hour, we are focusing on storytelling. And so Speak, Adams Booth's story series, is running on the 15th of this month. So next Tuesday, Oba William King from Chicago, well-known storyteller, very well-respected storyteller, powerful, powerful teller, will be at Speak at the Shepherdstown Community Building, also known as the Men's Club or the War Memorial Building. So you want to show up next Tuesday on the 15th to hear Oba William King. And Oba was at the National Storytelling Festival all week, and I did get to tell him, talk to him, and he has agreed to be our guest next Monday. That will be a pre-recorded session, but he will be here in town at the beginning of next week. So we're going to feature him on the program, and you'll get to hear him tell you what he'll be doing on Tuesday evening. If you would like to register in advance for Speak, you get a little bit of a discount off the door fee. It's $10 in advance, and you can reach Adam Booth at speakwv.org. And you can also get tickets at the Four Seasons Bookstore on Main Street. And if you have Adam's phone number, if you're part of the inner circle, you can call him directly. But reaching him through the web is the way that most people do it. So I hope to see you next Tuesday on the 15th for Oba William King. In the meantime, I wanted to tell you that on Saturday, when I was in Philadelphia at the National Association for Black Storytellers annual conference, that's a five-day conference, but I was only there for one day, I got to hear youth affiliates, children that are affiliated with the National Association of Black Storytellers chapters all over the country. And I think there were five different cities represented. If memory serves, Philadelphia, of course, was there. Baltimore was there, the Griot Circle, children of the Griot Circle. Atlanta, Rochester, and Columbus, Ohio, all had contingents of kids. So the room probably held 400 people. And during the kids' performances, there were children four rows deep. And that's the first time I have seen that many kids participating in the conference. And they were very, very, very good. Following that concert by the affiliate groups of children, there was a tall tale contest, a liars contest for children. And I was blown away by those kids. Such poise and practiced and spontaneous energy and skill. I'll tell you, well, either I or one of the callers who will be calling in, one of the storytellers who was there, will be describing the winners of that contest. But you're going to be hearing more from these kids. These were mostly original tales. Some of them were traditional with original twists, but they were just very, very impressive kids, ranging in age from about five. There might have been a four-year-old, I believe, was one of the tellers, but most of the kids were a little bit older, all the way up through new college age, young people. And then following the children's tall tale contest, there was a similar contest for adults. And Mitch Capel was the MC for that session, and it was worth driving from Shepherdstown and Hagerstown to Philly just to hear those performances. I really enjoyed that. I'm going to do a station ID at this point because our first caller, our first call-in storyteller will be calling in a couple minutes. Arthuretta Martin is her name, and I will be introducing her once she's on air with us. This, of course, you are listening to Eastern Panhandle Independent Community Radio, broadcasting from Shepherdstown, West Virginia. And this is the Epic Story Hour, and I'm your host, Fanny Crawford. We're focusing today on NABS, the National Association of Black Storytellers, which just finished its 34th annual storytelling conference. This year was in Philadelphia, last year in Washington, D.C. Next year, there's talk of it being in Wichita. I'm not sure that that's going to hold true, but that's the rumor. And maybe down south the year after that. So I've invited a couple storytellers who were at the conference for most of the week to call in with us and share their experiences. Everything at that conference this year was just memorable for me. Everything from the dinner to my networking conversations with storytellers. Oh, we have a call coming in. Let's see who this caller is.
Oh, we have a call coming in.
Arthuretta. Is that you?
Yes, it is me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's really good to hear you.
Can you make sure your radio is turned off? Is it off?
Oh, my radio is off.
Okay. Good enough. I heard
Thank
it right
you,
in the beginning.
That's John Case, the station manager and my engineer for this hour.
Okay.
He's coaching me through my first telephone experience on air.
Cool. Very good.
So we are both guinea pigs today.
Okay.
Thank you for agreeing to help me with this experiment today, and I'm really glad that you in particular are available to talk to our listeners about NABS. And I understand you're going to give us a little bit of background about NABS and how you came to be involved, and then tell us a little about the conference.
All right. Well, first of all, Franny, it is always really cool to work with you and be with you. it is exciting that you're doing this radio program. And the train that you hear behind me is what runs by my house.
Oh, I love it.
Trains and excuse the noise.
No, it's wonderful.
Done in a sec.
Trains
but,
are wonderful.
How I became aware of NABS, the National Association of Black Storytellers, is actually a story in and of itself. I guess I was always a storyteller. My father was a preacher. My mother was a teacher. So both of their career paths had storytelling in it, even though I didn't really call it that. They just did it. And a lot of my upbringing, now that I think back on it, involved a lot of storytelling, whether it was telling family history or black history, historical history, or just explaining values and mores in general. There was something involved with telling it from the perspective or teaching it from the perspective of a story.
And you're now living in Baltimore, and that train we just heard was a Maryland train, or
no? I actually live in Virginia.
Virginia, okay, outside
and
DC.
That train was probably Amtrak.
Okay,
that runs right by my house.
But you grew up in North Carolina, is that right?
I grew up in Pennsylvania, not far from the Philly state. I lived in Bucks County.
This is brand new to me.
From North Carolina.
Okay, so your folks are from North
Carolina.
Yes,
they're from the Carolinas.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
No problem. Interrupt as you would like. So my mother had passed in 2008, and my father had become ill in 2009, 2010. So I made the decision to pack up and relocate to North Carolina, to Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, to take care of him. And while I was there, a friend of mine from Maryland, as a matter of fact, called me and said, there's this organization called the National Association of Black Storytellers that's having a retreat not far from where you're staying. This is something I think you might be interested in attending. And I said, okay. And I went ahead. They gave me the phone number of Beverly Burnett, who is the president of the North Carolina Association of Black Storytellers. I called her, and within 5 minutes of me calling her and leaving a message, she called me back. And I went ahead and went to the retreat. Baba Jamal Karam is the founder of the retreat that's held in North Carolina. And I went and I said, oh my gosh, I felt like I had come home after like 40 years. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a storyteller, much less one that focused on black folklore, black stories, black history.
And Baba
Jamal. So that's how I was introduced to the North Carolina Association of Black Storytellers and also the National Association of Black Storytellers. And NABS. It was through the festival.
And what?
That was in 2010 that I attended, and I've attended every, no, 2011, and I have attended every festival since then.
What an amazing and welcoming entry to start with Baba Jamal.
Yes, it was amazing.
What a gift. And I'm hoping to get Baba Jamal both on the station in the near future on this program, and also as part of the Stories in the Round series in Hagerstown. He seems very interested in coming, so I'm trying to book him for that. So our listeners will be hearing from him too.
Cool.
So you were telling us how you came to be involved with NABS and your introduction to storytelling as a professional role or something that you could develop over time. Can you share a bit then about maybe that first conference and then your experience this week?
Well, the first retreat that I attended was in North Carolina. At the retreat, we learned the details and the craft of storytelling. The festival includes learning the craft, but it also has the experience of seeing it, storytelling done by professionals, those who have been doing it for years, those who have evolved to become griots or historians, professionals, and the way that they use not only the spoken word, but music and drum and dance and all of the arts, visual arts, to tell stories is what I got at my first festival, which was in Atlanta. Now, this past week, which was in Philadelphia, was sort of like a homecoming for me because, as I said, I grew up not far, really in the suburbs of Philadelphia. I grew up in Bucks County. So being there and seeing how the city has evolved and also experiencing NABS from the perspective of the Philly experience was amazing. From the first night that we were there where we had the conference at the African American Museum that was like two blocks north of our conference center.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Seeing all of the different ways that people share story. It was just fabulous. I can't really tell you what was the highest point for me during this week, but I do feel that seeing Diane Ferlette, who is a master storyteller, tell story was simply amazing because prior to that, I only had heard her on CDs or saw her on YouTube. So seeing her in person was truly an honor.
You know, I felt the same way. Now, I only saw her performance on Saturday evening, but she really had the audience, including me, in the palm of her hand. And just her ability to use music and song and rhythm. I love that staff she uses to pace herself and to end each each number. She really is someone to admire and look up to. I've heard her briefly at the National Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, but I had never been seated so close to her, for one thing.
Yeah.
And just to know the journey that she's come on and how she has mentored so many other people who tell me about her all the time as a mentor. So it really was something, as you say, to see Diane Ferlette. Would you like to tell a bit more of a story, or are you prepared to tell us what you are working on right now?
Well, I can do a little bit of both.
Okay.
The major project that I'm working on right now is to establish a Black storytelling affiliate within the Washington, D.C. metro area. Believe it or not, there is no official presence or organization of Black storytelling within the D.C. area. Now, there are a lot of storytelling organizations. As a matter of fact, there's two or three story guilds in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But there are no Black storytelling organizations. So there are a few of us that are pulling ourselves together, working through the mechanics of establishing a nonprofit, and our goal is to kick off the NCABSA, which is what we're calling ourselves, the National Capital Area Black Storytelling Association. National Capital Area Black Storytelling Association.
Okay, and that's pronounced NCABSA?
NCABSA.
Okay.
We hope, and I can actually come back on your radio program and give you the actual date and time, we hope to kick off for Kwanzaa in December of this year.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I will, when we're finished on air, we will get out calendars and try to book you on for sure. That would be wonderful to have you back on air.
So, yes, that's the big project I'm working on. Now, I do have a story, if time permits.
Well, we
do you have the time?
Yes, we have a little. We have probably about 7 minutes.
Okay. Well, this story is dedicated to our veterans. We are approaching Veterans Day, and my father was a World War II and Korean conflict war veteran, and I have many family members who served in the armed forces. So this little story that I've written, it's an original, called A Christmas Wish, is dedicated to veterans. Jennifer squeezed him as tightly as she could. It just seemed she couldn't squeeze tight enough. Then she rolled over and realized her pillow was wet from her tears. It was a good thing that Teddy wasn't real or he'd be dead, she thought. Teddy was her stuffed animal. She missed Mommy so much, and she hated the fact that this holiday season, her Mommy would not be with her. She wiped her eyes and said her prayers and tried to go back to sleep. You see, it was September, September 14th to be exact. Jennifer had just started third grade. She loved her teacher, Miss Jones, and Jennifer was so excited about her new school. Life was finally loving her, just like she wanted to love life. See, her mother, Susan, was a staff sergeant, military medic in the U.S. Army, newly stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Her mom was a single mom. Each morning, Susan, her mommy, fixed Jennifer breakfast, took her to school, fixed her hair, brushing it until it shined. She laid out her clothes every night before school, making sure that her socks, skirt, pants, shirt, and sweater matched perfectly. You see, Jennifer was a little lady. That morning, Susan made Jennifer's favorite lunch, peanut butter and grape jelly on soft white bread, cut in triangles with the crust off. She had to have a pink lady apple. As I told you, Jennifer was a little lady. And the apple slices had to be cut just so. She had to have the peels on them. And, of course, she had to have her veggies. So she had a handful of baby carrots. Because Susan worked on base and lived on base, she had the support group she needed to work at the clinic and take care of all of her daughter's needs. And when she had to work, there were enough people around to support her and her 8-year-old, bright-eyed, inquisitive daughter. That morning, Susan walked Jennifer to school. The leaves were sort of like they are right now, all different colors of green and orange and gold and red. The air was brisk, and Jennifer was skipping and singing and swinging her mother's arms as she went to and fro, just like little girls often do. "Mommy, why do leaves change colors?" Jennifer asked. "Oh, I don't know," Susan said. Her voice had a hint of preoccupation. Jennifer sensed the hesitation. She knew that Mommy wasn't Mommy. "Is something wrong, Mommy?" she asked. "No, no, nothing is wrong. Look, we're almost at the school." Jennifer looked up, saw that, in fact, they were almost at the door of Bragg Elementary. She smiled with glee and said, "Bye, Mommy." She dropped her mother's hand and went running towards the school's entrance. Susan watched her daughter run towards the welcoming glass doors. "Bye, darling," she shouted back. She smiled, waved until Jennifer disappeared. She then turned toward the west side of the base and began her 10-minute walk to her office. She had to walk pretty fast. "What am I going to do if they call me?" she thought to herself. Before she knew it, she was at the medical unit. She walked in, sat at her desk, and began to arrange papers to begin her day. She enjoyed her work, but often she had to be concerned with, there was a buzz. The phone interrupted her thoughts. "Sergeant James, can you come in here?"
Yes, I can, sir."
"Your names come to the top of the list. It is your turn, Susan. You're going to be deployed on November the 1st. He handed her her orders. She looked at the orders dumbfounded, bit her bottom lip as tears welled up in her eyes. Then she cleared her throat, pulled herself together and said, sir, I understand. May I be excused now?" "Yes, you may, Susan," he said. Then with a tone of compassion, he said, "Let me know if there's anything you need." His voice echoed the tone of empathy, that tone that only makes you feel worse. "Yes, sir," she said, whispering back the tears that were welling up in her throat. How am I going to tell her, Susan thought. We've never been apart. Why, God? Why now? The audible voice came back into her head. Oh, okay, God. We can get through this. Another chapter begins. That night, Susan held Jennifer in her arms as the child cried, that deep cry that only a child that is about to lose her mother could cry. Susan just rocked her to and fro until she stopped sobbing. Susan never told Jennifer she had to be strong. That was too much to put on a child. She never told her she had to stop crying. Crying makes you human. She didn't even tell her that everything was going to be okay. She didn't want to tell her what could be a lie. Susan just held her and told her mommy loved her and would never stop loving her, no matter what. By October 25th, Jennifer had changed schools. She was now living with her grandmother in Orlando, Florida. She had a big room with lots of toys and had access to Disney World, but her heart was broken. Her mommy was leaving, and Thanksgiving and Christmas were coming around the corner, and mommy wouldn't be with her. Grandmother had a kind heart and made the best chocolate chip cookies in the world. But those cookies weren't even enough to ease Jennifer's heartache. To ease her pain, Jennifer's grandmother gave her a music box. The music box played "When You Wish Upon a Star." It makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams will come true. So Jennifer prayed each day that all would be well for her mother as she traveled overseas. And Jennifer did just that. Each day Jennifer prayed, each day her spirits became lighter. That is until December 24th. It was then that the reality of Christmas without Mommy sat in. Rather than being excited about the gift she'd open the next day, Jennifer was sad and went to her bed early. Jennifer wiped the tears from her eyes and dried off Teddy and tried to go back to sleep. Just when she was about to relax and drift off to sleep, the doorbell rang. Jennifer jumped out of bed and ran to the door with her grandmother to see who would be coming to their door at Christmas Eve. It was the UPS man with a package. "Special delivery for Jennifer James," he said, with the spirit of the season. Could it be for Mommy, she thought? It was. With excitement and anticipation, she ripped open the package and opened the gift. Her mother so lovingly prepared. A music box. It was no ordinary music box either. When she lifted the box, to her surprise, there was a mommy bear and a baby bear together holding hands going round and round. The music box also had small discs so Jennifer could change the music that it played. The best part was the music. It had Mommy's voice singing all of Jennifer's favorite Christmas songs. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Jingle Bell Rock, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. Ah, and the best one of all, "Merry Christmas, Darling." We're apart, that's true. But I can dream, and in my dreams, I'm Christmasing with you. Well, I wish you Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, too. I have one wish on this Christmas Eve. I wish I were with you. I wish I were with you. Although Jennifer and Susan were apart that Christmas, they had never been closer. Their Christmas wish really did come true. End of tale.
Thank you, Arthuretta. What a lovely, lovely story. I think we've talked about music boxes before, you and I, because I'm remembering some of this story might be a bit autobiographical. Am I remembering
something?
We have not talked about music boxes?
If my mother used to collect music boxes.
Okay, that's what I'm remembering.
I don't have one.
Okay. Well, I had one as a child, and my grandmother had one as a child. So, I mean, when I was a child, my grandmother had one. So I have fond memories of them. But what really touches me about that story is the way that vets who are separated from their families find really creative and nurturing ways to stay connected, especially to children. And, of course, yeah, that's what you've captured here.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
There's so many things going on in November, and as you say, Veterans Day is one of those important days when we ponder people who are doing things on our behalf that are not always front and center in our attention. So thank you for sharing that story.
You are most welcome.
I'm going to do a station ID, but please stay on the line, okay?
Will do.
This is Epic Radio Story Hour, broadcasting from Shepherdstown, West Virginia. You can listen to us online. We're in a web-based station, www.enlighten. There is no ED on Enlighten, enlightenradio.org. And we've been listening to a story from Arthuretta Martin. And before that, we were talking about NABS, the National Association of Black Storytellers, and the conference that NABS held, their annual conference that was held this past week, the last 5 days or so, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Arthuretta was there. And when I saw her, I immediately started thinking about how our listeners would like to hear from her, hear both her stories and her experiences at the conference. Let me ask you, Arthuretta, do you need to get off the line soon, or would you be able to stay on when our second storyteller calls in? It's entirely up to you.
I would love to hang around. Sure.
Okay. Well, Diane Macklin will be joining us in a few minutes, and I know, because I know Diane and I know you, that you will love chatting with each other, and that's always an added bonus if we can have our listeners hear what goes on between storytellers when they think no one's listening. But you will know that we do have listeners out in the world, and that would just be a fun thing to do. Oh, there's a call coming in. Hold on. Is this Diane Macklin?
Yes, it is.
Welcome to Eastern Panhandle Independent Community Radio, Diane. I still have Arthuretta Martin on the phone, and she's agreed to stay on the line so that we can have some back and forth going on. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Okay, and you will get some time to share your own specific experiences from the NABS conference this week, and I'm hoping you'll also get to tell a story, but I think it would be really fun for our listeners to hear the two of you chat also. So Arthuretta, meet Diane Macklin, and Diane, meet Arthuretta.
Hello, Diane. Hello, Arthuretta. I'm so glad to have heard your story. You're part of what makes NABS so special, because you have that big open heart, and it's in that story, and it's in your presence when you're at the festival. So thank you for being you.
And thank you for being you, too.
So Arthuretta, who lives outside D.C. in Virginia, has shared with us that she's trying to get a metro area NABS chapter going in the D.C. area. And Diane, I know that you live in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a bit of your experience of how you came to NABS, and then maybe a bit about what your week was like at the conference.
Sure. So Arthuretta is so correct about
it being amazing that there isn't a Washington, D.C. Metro storytelling affiliate of the National Association of Black Storytellers. And when I moved to D.C., that was my surprise. But eventually, I moved into Maryland and moved even further north. So I'm a member of the closest affiliate to D.C., which is the Griot Circle of Maryland, which meets in Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm very grateful that I am a part of both organizations. And my path of storytelling is sort of similar to Arthuretta, you know, not knowing about it until you were an adult. I love that I get to go into a classroom of preschoolers and they are experiencing storytelling. I didn't experience this in a formal way. I understood my family later in life were telling stories in their way, but I actually started in storytelling in 93 through a storyteller whose name is Tracy Levitt, and she was part of the Hudson Valley Storytellers Guild. And I loved listening. I didn't really want to tell, so I was in college, but she tricked me into telling, and I remember that feeling as if the story just came out as so natural, like my breath. And I wanted to be able to be creative in that way. But I went off and got my master's in teaching and did work for a nonprofit. And so I dabbled in it, but didn't do much. But she said something to me once. She said, "Look, Diane, I am not of the Black tradition. And one day you have to go to the National Association of Black Storytellers Conference, because they will teach you and you will experience there something you can't feel any other place among any other storytellers." And she was right. In 2000, I went to my first NAPS conference, and it was like coming home to a family I didn't know I had. So that, of course, is it's life-changing, especially for someone who grew up as the second Black family to move in her neighborhood in upstate New York in Dutchess County. So NABS has meant a lot to me in all these years, and I do try to make it every single year, but I am a full-time storyteller as a performer and teaching artist, so sometimes it's a little bit challenging for me to get to the festival because I'm working. But every time I go, I experience something that is unlike any other place I go, which, you know, I go to a lot of festivals, I go to a lot of events, but it is unique to NABS. And this year, I was so glad that it was in Philadelphia, partly because I could drive, but also my father lived in Philadelphia. He's now an ancestor, but it was a way for me to be at peace in a city that I frequented quite a bit for a while there. And this year's was very spiritual. It was very, very spiritful. Everyone was in that place of really want to be nurturing and loving to one another. And I needed that. And that's it. Every year, NABS gives me exactly what I need. And that can't be planned. So there's a movement of the spirit. And it was referred to as, I think, NOMO by someone. And that there's this movement of the spirit that is happening that is a synergy, but is also because of the people that come. You know, people come to honor our past and celebrate our present and rejoice that there can be a future. And I agree with Arthuretta, the youth were, that just was one of the pieces that moved me. The Baba Jamal Harambe Youth Concert. And Harambe means, you know, let's pull together, you know, all pull together. And that was the theme of the whole experience of NABS all the time, but to focus it on the youth. And they came together and they were incredible. Fanny, I heard you talking earlier about how that they just floored you. And I agree. They were so present, and I think that one was about 4 years old who almost missed his turn and started crying, and someone said, "Oh, we missed your turn," and brought him on. He dried his tears and just told his story with his shoulders up and his little form standing as tall as he could. And those experiences stick with me all year long, because that's how long it takes before I have this experience of NABS. And Arthuretta, I think you agree that it's something that it's even hard to describe. You kind of have to be there.
Arthuretta, were you there for the kids' concert? Did you hear that part or the contest afterwards?
Did we lose her?
Whoops.
Okay. It says she's still connected, but I don't see... she hasn't hung up. I don't know what happened there.
Okay, see if we can get her back.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
There you are.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had the whatever. Yes, I was there for the children. I was there for the children, and that was another highlight. And the little guy that Diane is describing... is he just took the stage with power and authority once he got himself together. And I saw that with every one of the young people. Their confidence that they could do this is so unusual for young people today. And that's what storytelling does for children in general. All children, they need storytelling in the classroom.
And that's actually what the scholars panel. So NABS conference and festival, there are so many different elements to it that there's something for everyone. And the one thing that I really, like, every year I'm like, oh, please let me be able to make it for the scholars panel. And this year the theme was about academics and black storytelling. And the title of the panel was The Fruit of the Baobab Tree, Academic Relevance of African-American Storytelling. And the one wonderful element of the membership of NABS is that there are so many scholars and so many lovely folks with a PhD. And they are so generous and giving, but they're focused. The folks were Dr. Leslie Carolyn Edwards, Dr. Linda Humes, and Dr. Carolise Frank Reed. And their focus was that Eurocentric scholarship has a very hard time understanding the spiritual component, and that's where they had used that word that I mentioned, that nomo word, and that spirit is ethereal, and that there are three key aesthetic elements of black storytelling, and it's rhythm, yes, it's creativity, absolutely, but the other is spirit. And so they studied, Dr. Carol Lee studied some of the exemplars among our community, Mama Linda Goss, Jackie Torrens, Charlotte Blake Alston, and what their work meant in this regard, but also in regards to what's being taught by their experience of being with them in storytelling and listening and being part of the story. And Dr. Linda, she focused more on the education piece of what happens when you have storytelling among young people. You have a community, and a community that has character education at the center of it, and that you are able to see the effect of key characteristics of the African oral art form and its impact on the community and students. And then Dr. Carolyn was kind of like, she was a call to action. She was like, okay, you know, as a child she read, and as a child she loved stories, and it brought her in this world of storytelling, but there isn't a lot of research on black storytelling and its impact. And if you were to study our youth, you would see the impact of what all those scholars were talking about. And actually one of the, they have youth awards. It was a youth award and concert. And the Baba Jamal Karam Harambe Youth Award went to one young lady who's a part of the affiliate that's up here in Baltimore. The Griot Circle of Maryland has an affiliate sort of program that's called the Growing Griots. It's our youth division. And they have really taken off. I mean, these young people have performed in so many high-profile venues, and they are so present and being with storytelling and letting storytelling affect their lives. You know, they've performed at National Great Blacks and Wax Museum for the Urban League, the Greater Baltimore Urban League. But Mariah Greer was one of the awardees, and she was actually performing with another member of the Growing Griots. And it was so wonderful to see those two young ladies up there telling in tandem, which is one of the hardest art forms. But all these children, they told in tandem, but they made it look so easy.
They did.
And it was like, oh my goodness. They just did it so naturally.
Yeah.
And
yes.
And they could ebb and flow, and they took care of each other.
They did.
And that's
they
what I loved. If they got stuck, the other one took care of the other one, and that's what Black storytelling is about. That's what the tradition is about. It's not just about crafting a great story to tell. It's about what we are together when we're telling and we're listening. And they brought it. Those young people brought it, and we went along with them because as the adults in the room, that's our charge.
Well,
yep,
you were reminding me that I hope to get when we were when you and I, Diane, were talking about the Griot Circle Kids Group. You got me thinking that since that was such a powerful part of the weekend for me, I really hope to get one of the adults who have been working with these kids to come on to the program and talk about working with children over time and forming affiliate groups of kids to develop those storytelling skills. And probably the first part of that is helping them to develop their listening skills. So important for young people these days. But then also developing them as storytellers themselves. So I'm hoping that we can get somebody from the Baltimore Griot Circle to come and do that. And we've already committed to having Arthuretta come back to talk about the Metro Group in D.C. that she's trying to get started.
And so I would love for that to happen. And Arthuretta, let me know how I can help because, you know, I live straddled between two cities. Most of my work is in D.C. I work, you know, and that's
connection.
That's where I started. I lived in Silver Spring and Annandale. Mm-hmm. So I moved to Baltimore because I wanted to be just far enough from where I work that I could have an oasis because I love how Baltimore is a community of people that want to be in relationship with one another. Washington, D.C. is a community of people who are very busy.
Yeah.
No offense.
And relationships is good if it happens.
Yeah. Well, let me ask.
And, you know, my neighbors, we know each other. We talk to each other. Hey, you've been growing. Slow down. You're growing so big. You know, it's just very different feel than where I lived in Silver Spring. That was just always busy. And people can slow down a bit up here. And so I needed a place where I could have that community feel, but I do work in D.C., so I feel very committed to my work that I've been given to do in D.C., and I work a lot in DCPS schools, and I feel that that's part of the mission work of my life,
Diane,
and I'm grateful. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a story prepared that's kind of representative of the work you do? We have about room for a 5-minute story if you have something.
Well, I have
that
a
seems
short
appropriate.
Story that I was going to tell you.
Okay.
That connects to that whole concept of Harambe.
Oh, good.
Because
good.
That is a very important concept for not just the youth, even though that's what the youth concert is, but it's an important concept for the whole festival, Black storytelling in the community. And there is a story. It's like a folk parable. And that's what I wanted to share with you is an example of what that means for us in the form of a story.
Okay. If you can do that.
For me, it means for me.
If you can do that in under 5 minutes, you've got the floor.
I sure can, but it's 2 minutes.
All right, good.
So they're in a village. There are people that know how to take care. And the village elder had the children around. And the village elder gathered them around because he noticed something. Sometimes the children thought that they were better off doing things by themselves. And he wanted them to understand a principle of the village that they would learn best through an experience and a story. So he gathered the children and gave each one a stick and said, children, oh, can you break the stick? And they were like, oh, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. And they broke the stick, and they were so proud of themselves. Look, I can break a stick. And so he said, give me your sticks. Give me your sticks. He gathered them all up, and he bound them together. He said, now, who thinks they can break the sticks bound together? Oh, I can. And one child after another tried to break these sticks, and they couldn't do it. Not one of them. Not even the one that they thought was the strongest of them all, but didn't always want to admit. And the elder said, when you are bound together, you support one another. You are unbreakable. But when you are alone, you are easily broken. And they began to talk a little bit about how they'd seen that truth in the village. And as they grew, those children, they passed that along to the next generation. And that's the story of the stick.
Mm. Very good. A twist on a traditional tale. Yeah.
And that's what we do. We are bound together. This group is bound together. And not that everything is perfect, not that everything is smooth, but we are committed to be in love and light and peace and to continue in the tradition of what it means for storytelling to be at the center of community.
Very good. Thank you, Diane.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad that you, Diane, and you, Arthuretta, got time to talk with each other. You know, all these years now, I have thought that you guys knew each other. So when you, when it became apparent that if you knew who each other were, you really hadn't had time to chat. So I'm glad that I was able to be a bridge for the two of you, because you
we
do
because we only see each other at the festival.
Yeah, right. Well, you're so close geographically, and you have so much in common that I hope you can get some collaborations going there, as you were just saying.
Oh, she will be getting a call. No worries.
Very good. Okay. Well, I am going to thank both of you from the bottom of my heart for helping me with this program this morning. Thanks for being willing to call in.
And thank you, Fanny, for the many ways you support all storytellers and storytelling, from Adam's program to your own program in Hagerstown. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to use the last few minutes to talk about the regional calendar, the story events that are going on in the area, to make sure our listeners know about those. But I am looking forward to having each of you back to have your own program in the near future. And as I slowly get more comfortable with the technology, you won't even have to drive to Shepherdstown. Although if you're willing to, I would love to have you come to town and have you visit some of the amazing eateries we have here and visit some of the local personalities. And there's even a couple storytellers that you might want to meet. But if that's inconvenient, because I know you both travel for work, we can also do that on a recording by phone or by tape that can be broadcast at a later date. So thank you for coming, and you'll be hearing from me to reschedule each of you with your own independent program. Thank you. So you have a last sentence for our listeners?
I don't know if Diane is still there.
I think she is, yeah.
Would you like to go first?
Well, the last sentence is, let the story you tell be one that lifts people up and brings people together. Find your story, share it with someone who you care about and cares about you, and check out the National Association of Black Storytellers when you can.
Thank you, Diane.
Yes, thanks, Diane. And my last word is tell your story, whatever that may be, whoever you are. Otherwise, no one will ever know.
Amen. Thank you, Arthuretta.
Wise
Amen.
Woman, Arthuretta. All right. I'll look forward to talking to you again.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Arthuretta Martin and Diane Macklin, who are both longtime members of the National Association of Black Storytellers, and they're coming down from an amazing high 5 days at the annual conference of NABS, the National Association of Black Storytellers. This was in Philadelphia this week, and they were gracious enough to agree to be interviewed on the phone about that conference. And I'm going to use the last few minutes of our program today. I forgot to tell you, this is Fanny Crawford, your Epic Story Hour host. And in the couple minutes left to me, I want to make sure that our listeners know about the events that are coming up in the region. I've already told you about Speak, Adam Booth's regular monthly series, April through December, here in Shepherdstown. And Oba William King is the guest teller this coming Tuesday, the 15th. Oba will be with us on air that program will be broadcast at our regular time on Monday from 12 to noon on Enlighten Radio, Enlighten, no ED in Enlighten, enlightenradio.org. We're a web-based station. And then you can see Oba in person on Tuesday, the 15th at 7:30 at the Shepherdstown Community Center, Community Club, also known as the War Memorial Building and the Men's Club, right next door to the library. And you can get your tickets at Four Seasons Books or by going to www.speakwv.org. Another storytelling series that I coordinate myself in Hagerstown at the Unitarian Universalist Church at 13245 Sear Foss Pike. If you're familiar with Hagerstown, that's Salem Avenue extended west. And you can access tickets in advance and get a little bit of a discount, $12 at the door, $10 in advance, by contacting me at Fanitsky, F as in Fanny or Fred, A-N as in no, I-T-S-K-Y, at hotmail.com. You can also call me at 301-730-1638. And this month, we also run April through December. Our performances are at 7, and our storyteller coming in from Shepherdstown is Shepherdstown's favorite son, Adam Booth, who's returning for his famous November performance of holiday and seasonal stories, some family stories, some traditional tales. He's promised to do a bit of music while he's with us. And then there's something unusual happening at the Hagerstown Library, the downtown library at the corner of Antietam Street and Potomac Street. That's the brand new Fletcher Library building. Eloise Schottler, who is one of my story mentors, longtime story mentors, is coming up from D.C. to do her new story called Ready to Serve. It's about the almost unknown nurses of Johns Hopkins Hospital who put on Army uniforms and served with the Hopkins Base Hospital, where they cared for hundreds and hundreds of wounded soldiers during World War I. These are women who were recruited before there were any women involved in the military, so they're really the forerunners of the WACs and the WAVES and the women in the Air Corps. Eloise does an excellent job. She's done her research. She takes on the persona of some of these women, and that's at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, November 9th. So the day after tomorrow. It's free at the Hagerstown Library, the Washington County Library at 100 South Potomac Street in Hagerstown, and I may see you there. Those are the big events that you need to hear about. I'm going to give our Epic Story Hour mission statement as we close. This is your host, Fanny Crawford, on Epic Radio in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. We've been talking with two special guests, Diane Macklin and Arthuretta Martin, who were telling us about the 34th Annual Conference of the National Association of Black Storytellers for the past 5 days in Philadelphia. Thank you to both of them. And next week, we will have Oba William King on this Story Hour. The Epic Story Hour on Epic web-based radio offers listeners a window into the world of storytelling by traditional and non-traditional tellers, encouraging our listening community to share, preserve, and expand our own stories. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for John Case. On his food radio program, www.enlightenedradio.org.
What to eat tonight? It's just a little bit sore.